welcome to the Caregiver Smile Summit, Dr. Rima Benario. We're going to talk about energy practices and how to get relief from caregiver passion fatigue. Rima and I go back a few years, haven't seen her in a while, good face to see. She's an author, workshop leader, soul coach, and I want to know what a wild heart healer is. Her doctorate is in transformational psychology, and she's been working in personal development for close to 20 years. In the last 5 years, she's been concentrating on working with women in midlife. She helps put women back in touch with their passion, passion for life, passion for partners, passion for themselves. And I'm jealous because she just told me she's going to Egypt. So I'm jealous. She's here to help you find relief from caregiver compassion fatigue in less than 15 minutes a day using some simple techniques, which she will demonstrate. Hi, Rima. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, Anthony. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. So what exactly is an energy practice and how does it help caregivers?
Well, one of the things that I learned recently, it's just been the past few years I've been working with this material, is that in addition to my physical body, I have an energy body. And that makes sense if you look at what's coming out of the emerging science in the quantum world and other places now that we have machines that are more sensitive and they're able to pick up more of what's really happening in the unseen realms, that our body, in fact, everything that we're aware of on the planet is an electromagnetic energy field. Just like the earth is, we are as well. And when we begin to understand that our body functions like an electromagnetic energy field, we can start to pay attention to the ways that we're losing our energy. So that means getting it that we have an in-pole and an out-pole, just like a battery has a way for the energy to move out and then a way that the energy needs to come in. And when the batteries in your remote control aren't sitting in the right position, you get nothing. And the same thing happens with our bodies. When we're not paying attention to the way our energy field is working, we can end up tired when we don't really need to be or want to be or can't afford to be.
Awesome. Thank you. So what are some examples in your own life where you've used these practices to support reducing stress?
Well, one of the things that's been true about my life is that I run two businesses from home while I'm raising a daughter who's now 14. So you would think that in some ways I'm not as needed as a mom, but in other ways she's just starting high school with all kinds of activities and things going on, not yet able to drive. And at the same time, I'm taking care of my relationship with my beloved. And we just moved this summer from Kansas City to Las Vegas and in order for her to start a performing arts high school. And that was one of the most stressful experiences of our lives. We went through, in a period of 6 weeks, four different temporary living positions or situations until our house closed. And if I hadn't had these energy practices in order to help myself deal with that stress, I think we would have gone bonkers. I mean, my husband was working remotely. I was launching my Egypt trip, as you just described, and my daughter was taking three classes online to get ahead for school, all living in a one-bedroom apartment. So it was quite the ordeal. And because I had learned how to ground myself, how to pay attention to the edge of my field, my energy field, to make sure that I was in my core, and also to make sure that I had gotten rid of anything that wasn't me that was in my energy field. And these are the five different things that go together to make this practice. And then the last piece is sort of tying up the loose ends that like to wander around. And because I was practicing that every single day, I was able to stay in a place of open-heartedness. I was able to be calm even when others weren't. and really just enjoy the journey much more so than I would have ever been able to do if I hadn't found these tools.
Interesting. So is that something that you've tried to teach your significant other and your daughter?
Absolutely. I mean, my daughter has picked up on it tremendously. My husband does it some too, but he likes to do it his own way. You know, that's not unusual that we take in things. Yeah. We learn things and we think, okay, this part I really like, that part, that seems a little too weird for me. So, and that's really okay. I really encourage people to go with the parts that they can go with and let the rest fall by the wayside.
Interesting. So I don't know if you're up on caregiving statistics, but you know, we've come to find out in the last year and a half that 25% of caregivers are now millennials. So they're certainly battling lots of different things in their own lives. It's quite remarkable that that statistic kind of made its way to the forefront. So, you know, you talk about some of these practices, what kind of practices are they? What do you recommend? And is this something you can demonstrate for us even in some simple way?
Sure. I'll run through them quickly.
Okay.
And one of the things I'm so happy to provide the participants in your summit with is a link to a YouTube video that I made that takes them through this practice. It's sort of like a visualization and a meditation put together. And, you know, for those of us who are sort of new to the metaphysical field or who haven't done much looking into things beyond what we can see with our eyes, some of this might seem a little weird or a little woo-woo, and you know, I've learned at this age to quit apologizing for my hippie woo-woo nature.
So, me too.
So again, I just invite your listeners to use what works best for them. So the first of the five techniques is called grounding. And most of us will recognize the importance of a ground when it has to do with electricity and electromagnetic energy fields, because our houses have to be grounded. You know, every single plug has a line that's connected to a wire that goes outside of your house that goes right into the ground, because the earth is capable of taking excess energy and using it to grow plants and flowers and trees and all kinds of things. And not only can it do that for our home, it can do that for our body as well. Some people take this to the farthest degree by never wearing any kind of shoes that aren't natural. And people have said that because we mostly walk around in rubber-soled shoes, we've really done a number on ourselves in terms of being able to get the benefit of the earth taking the excess energy out of our system so that we're happier and calmer. You can just think about when you were a kid and you used to love to lay on the grass all afternoon and how relaxing that would feel, or when you go to the beach and you're sitting on the beach or whatever, having a picnic.
Sure.
So the good news with this particular practice using creative visualization is that we don't have to worry so much about the physicality of the rubber getting in the way. We can just tune in, and I'll do this with you right now, to tune into the bottoms of your feet. And for the purposes of directing your attention, just imagine that you are growing roots from the bottom of your feet all the way down into the earth. And I like to close my eyes when I do this so that I can sort of get a picture in my mind. And now my roots, they're just there all the time now. So I don't have to send them down into the earth. I'm basically just checking on them when I do my practice now. And then something that will add a greater dimension is to imagine a third root coming straight from your tailbone all the way into the earth. So it's kind of like having a three-legged stool. It's a little more stable than just the two roots. So if you imagine these three roots locking themselves into the core of the earth, almost like a seatbelt, if you will, you know, the earth is spinning at incredible speeds. Mm-hmm. And I like to imagine that this is my seatbelt, kind of like if I was on a roller coaster, and it's what lets me go over the hill and go, whee, instead of worrying about falling out. So when I ground to the earth, I feel secure. And then there are two steps. Once the roots are in place, the first is to just begin breathing, like you're sipping up a straw, actually, the earth energy up into your system, and imagining that as a beautiful, pure energy, bringing it up into your system. So that's drawing in. For me, when I imagine it, it looks a little bit like a golden light. Sometimes it's a little bit bluish. It just depends. And then after I bring that into my system, I will then work on the output, which is to imagine anything else that I no longer need, any extra energy that's in my system, just dripping effortlessly out of my fingers, out of my fingertips, all the way back to the earth. Mm-hmm. And it's a very calming, practice to just imagine taking in that pure energy and releasing any excess energy that no longer serves us. It's particularly useful if you've just finished watching the news, or if you've gotten some bad news, perhaps, or if you're getting ready to go into a situation, like with someone you're giving care to, that you find stressful. If you ground yourself first, it's like preparing yourself for the experience. You breathe, you know, with regular breathing, bring yourself into that calm space. You're going to step into your caregiving with a lot more resourcefulness than you would if you were frazzled when you headed into that experience.
Interesting. I've heard some variations on this theme today with some of our other experts. I'm chuckling to myself as a golfer. I think I like that technique when I'm standing on the tee. Get the roots into the ground.
Absolutely. I mean, really provide some stability for yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. So what other practices are there that you could tell us about?
So after we do the grounding, the next thing we do is we want to move into paying attention to the edge of our field, our energetic field. So all of us have an energy field, and they've been able to measure these now. Sometimes they can measure the one from the heart that seems to go out the farthest, this one we have that gets produced in the brain. But in general, people think of the overall body's field to be about as far apart as if you were to put your arms out from fingertip to fingertip. Sometimes people call this an auric field, but that word gets a little bit of a bad rap. They can measure these with certain technologies as well, take pictures of them, and notice what moves in those fields as we respond to different emotional content. So what we want to do with our field is recognize that just like a cell has a membrane around it, our field also has a membrane, and we just call it an edge. And it's intelligent, just like a cell's membrane. So we can program it with our intention to become thicker and stronger and more supportive. And just like in our growing up years, when we're in a lot of a theta brain state and we're very suggestible at a young age, we can still find ourselves open to, let's say, less desirable energy when we're not really paying conscious attention to what we allow in. And you can set the intention using meditation to shore up your energy field so that anything that's negative or difficult or, you know, can send you around the bend, if anybody has any of those things that come up, to bounce off the edge of that field. And just as importantly, you want to tell with intention, set the intention that your precious energy doesn't leak out of your field and you have it there to use for you. Sometimes I'll use the visualization of a greenhouse. And I'll think of myself as an orchid that's sitting in a greenhouse. And so that greenhouse will keep out the cold and the wind and things like that, but it will allow in the sunshine and it will keep in the heat so that that orchid has a beautiful place to grow. And so if you think of yourself in that way, you just put your attention on your edge and using your voice, basically state your intention that during this time or throughout my day today, I will not allow in that which does not serve me, and I will keep in with for myself, for my own use, my energy that I need to move through this day resourcefully. So I have a kind of what I learned when I began doing these practices and began studying with my energy teacher, Linda Cesara, is that I had a very leaky edge. My energy was everywhere. And I used to have this experience where I'd feel like my husband would come home from work. I work from home. And I would be so looking forward to seeing him. And he would come in and start moving around in the space. And suddenly I'd feel like grumpy all of a sudden. And I'd think, oh, there he goes, bringing home his, you know, yucky work energy. I wish he would do his work on the way home to release all that before he came home and made me grumpy. And so we would have this sort of difficulty connecting at a time when we very much wanted to connect in a loving way. Well, come to find out, the problem wasn't that he was bringing home his energy. It was that my field was in the entire house, and the poor guy had nowhere he could step or stand that wasn't going to have that kind of an influence on me in the sense of feeling disrupted because I wasn't managing my energy space well. So people, these are unseen things, right? Like it's kind of a little weird to imagine that that could be the case. But I can tell you that ever since I began doing this work of bringing my energy in and making sure I'm contained in my space and leaving space for other people, it's radically transformed my experience of being annoyed by people and becoming annoying to people.
Interesting. Yeah, we can all use that. So and I know you're going to give us a link to a video. Is that going to help people actually walk through these and try them?
Absolutely. You can just press the play button, and from start to finish, it's about 11 minutes, and you'll go through the whole program and just close your eyes and follow along in your mind's eye as we visualize each of the five steps. And again, if some of them feel a little weird or strange to you, just do what you can do and let the rest go. And others of you will take to it like a duck to water. And if you're anything like me, you're going to be so amazed by what a difference it makes in your life.
Awesome. So we covered what, three steps so far?
We did two. We did the grounding and the edge.
The edge. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Keep going.
So the third one is being in your core. Now, people that exercise a lot will recognize this because core is required for balance, right? So we talk sometimes a lot about developing our core muscles, and that helps us with our posture. It helps us to stand up well. It helps us to lift things. But you know, I've never been one for doing that kind of, you know, crunching or push-up type exercises. So this is about tuning in really to your spine and the strength of your spine. And now our spines are much bigger than we normally think of them. Like you really wouldn't be able to put your hand all the way around your spine. But for some reason, we don't really imagine that it's really quite, at its biggest place, it's really quite thick. And so again, directing your attention by visualizing your spine, we know that energy follows thought. So if you put your attention on your spine, you won't even be able to help yourself. You'll just start to sit up straighter. And you can imagine that your spine goes all the way down into the earth. That helps me. I almost think of like a tree. Trees are an excellent example of having a good core. So they can be flexible in the wind, but they're not going anywhere unless, you know, something really major happens. And that's the quality that we want to mimic when we talk about standing in our core, that we can stand firm against the winds of life as they blow. And if somebody we're caring for is having a bad day, we are grounded. We are in our field, our energetic field, and we've got our edge up and we're in our core and we're standing strong.
Awesome. Okay. Four.
Number four is called Me, Not Me. It's about recognizing that we get messages coming to us all day long, every day, whether we drive down the street and there's billboards or we're listening on the radio or people are saying things to us. And it might even be some of our own thoughts that are things we picked up from childhood, those old tapes that we just keep playing over and over. And in this part of the meditation, what we do is we use our name to sort of do like a scan all the way through the body, looking for any places where we might find energy that is not a good match for who we are. It's not in alignment with who we are. It's not serving us. And we just visualize that moving out of our energy field and moving out of both our body and then that field that we talked about that goes around us. You can do this in a number of ways. You can imagine water sort of washing it out. You could imagine pushing it out. You could imagine vacuuming it up and dropping it outside your energetic field, or mailing up the things that belong to other people and sending it back to them. My favorite is I just imagine turning on like a leaf blower at the top of my head and woo, just effortlessly blows everything away. And when I first started doing this practice, when I first started doing this set of practices, I wouldn't get out of bed in the morning until I'd finished them. I mean, it was that powerful for me. And so I would find a lot of stuff in there. And now that I've been doing it for a good while now, there's just really, I just stay pretty clear, which is kind of nice. And then the second half of this exercise is to call back to you any parts of yourself that might be somewhere else. Like your attention might be in the future. If you're feeling anxiety over a decision you have to make, or you're worried about something that you don't really want to have to do that's coming up, or your energy could be in the past where you're still feeling angry or upset about something that's happened to you. It could be with people that kind of have hooked you a little bit, you know, and you've got those stories running in your mind. So in this case, once we clear out our space, we again drop in and connect with our higher self or the essence of who we are. And I imagine it like the game hide and seek. You remember doing Ollie Ollie In Free, and it was like everybody could just come in and come home without penalty. So it's the same sort of thing. You're calling home the pieces of yourself, coming home to you without penalty, without any problem, without any shame, without any guilt. You're just inviting yourself to come home so that you're filling yourself with you and only you.
Okay. And what's the fifth?
The fifth one for me was the hardest one because it's a little bit, I mean, like the other, it seemed the weirdest to me, but I did do a little bit of studying with Barbara Brennan. If you're familiar with her, she's a major energy work teacher on the East Coast. She has a great book called The Hands of Light. And in it, she shows a diagram of what she calls energetic fibers that come from our energy body. You can just think of them as like little probes or sensors. This is how we pick up information in the energy field. This is how we, there's constantly information coming back and forth to us in ways that are not registering at the mind, but our body is picking those things up. It's sometimes why the hairs on the back of our neck will stand up. Mm. Like we have this sense that, uh-oh, there's danger here. But we don't know what the content of that is. Something in our body and in our energy field, though, is picking up on something. And she describes these two sort of wandery little, they're like ropes in a way, or fibers, she calls them, that are out there. Just the purpose of them is to pick up information. And just like I had a very loose edge, I have very wandery fibers that I discovered. And this practice is just about imagining you picking them up in your hands and wrapping them around your body and sending them back through your body as though you're threading them through and then tying them off. The reason for that is that you want your information to reference yourself first before it's checking out to see what else is available out there, so that you have a reliable source of discernment by checking into what is your authentic self, what is your higher self, what is your core self saying you need, you want, and you desire. And so if you just thread those fibers through your own body first, it's just an imagination game. Then it's setting that intent that you're going to be accessing your own inner wisdom first and foremost. And then because I sort of thought of mine as being kind of loose and I didn't like that idea, I just wrap them around several times until I start to feel really secure.
Make sure you're exactly.
That's right. And then I just tuck them in my belt like Wonder Woman's lasso, you know, in you get. And oddly enough, I feel so much better. And when I do this in groups, the most amazing thing happens. People are just, they're so floored by this experience. We'll be sitting in a circle and I'll teach everybody how to do this and we'll all tie our fibers. And then all of a sudden, the room just feels clearer. Like there's less static in the space and like everybody's buttoned up and everybody's got all their stuff in place. And there's not all this, you know, sharing of information that makes the place feel very crowded and full. Mm-hmm. For people that are sensitive to energy, they'll pick up on these things right away. If you're not very sensitive to energy, it's okay. You can do these things anyway. You don't have to feel a darn thing for them to be helping. It does help to do them regularly. It's like taking a vitamin. You don't take vitamin C once and think, okay, that's great. I've taken vitamin C. Never have to do that again. This is a practice. Mm-hmm. That the more often you do it, the better you get at it and the bigger and better results you will have.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not related to this field, but you know, for the longest time, I would never stretch a whole lot. And now I do a 40-minute workout that includes a lot of stretching, and I have scoliosis, and I'm religious about it now. And I bound down the steps and up the steps, and it's like, I should have been doing this a long time ago. You know,
it's interesting, isn't it? How we hear things and we sort of get that sense of maybe I should do that, but I don't really know how helpful that would be. And then we do it and all of a sudden there it is.
Yeah. And when you do it over and over again, yeah, it really impacts. So, I mean, this is quite the cleansing process, it sounds like. And I can imagine that people are going to be wanting to watch this video, just our interview several times, let alone the 11 minutes to get it. So this is really, really cool. This is just a question I just kind of thought of, but I know a lot of friends. I'm a boomer, and I'm running into more of my male friends who are caregivers. One whose mother just passed away, but I was sort of talking him off the ledge a lot with some of the things he was doing, because he was something about Italian mothers that, you know, I was just caregiver for mine and he was with his. And, you know, all that guilt and all that good stuff. So how receptive have you found men versus women on this one?
You know, I think it boils down to how much we really want to make a change in our lives. Mm-hmm. And when we've been feeling stress and we've tried a lot of things and we get to that point where we think, you know what, I'll just give just about anything a try if it's going to help. And we just open our minds up a little. It's amazing what we can discover. And so I tend to move in circles where more women than men show up, but when the men come and they hear the stories about what it's like, and then they feel the difference in themselves and the other participants in the workshops, they become true believers. And they really like this idea that it gives them a little more freedom to be in the space without feeling sort of demanded upon. And when we're all taking care of our own energetic hygiene, just like we take care of our body's hygiene, these are energetic hygiene steps that if all of us were doing these basic things, we would have so much more harmony between us in the world. And you can do it preventatively,
right,
every day. And you can do it when you're finished giving care, to just set yourself back into your body again so that it's much more comfortable to be in your body and to be present. Most of us check out because the stress is so high. You know, we eat stuff we shouldn't eat or drink things we shouldn't drink, or we go numb out on the television, or we overwork, whatever, to escape the feeling of being in an energy field that is us, that has too much energy in it. And we just didn't know that there's these things that we can do to balance our energy so we can feel more comfortable in our own skin.
Great. So what benefits can our viewers expect to have if they follow these practices? And well, how long does it take to see results?
So I would say if you're sensitive, you'll feel it the first time you do it. After you finish that meditation, you'll feel yourself, wow, that's kind of cool. I feel like really zen, you know. And the more you do that, the longer you can hold that feeling. And you can return to these practices over and over when you're sitting at a red light, or when you're brushing your teeth, or in the shower, you know, just periodically where you have moments where you can rest your attention, just bring yourself back to these practices and check on your basics, as my teacher calls them. I call it the self-set system. It's the same thing with a few little tweaks. And see where you are. And so the more you do it, you'll notice you'll be calmer. You'll notice you'll actually be able to engage with people in a way where you're open to them without having them slime you, you know, with their stuff. And some of us, we put up really big, strong walls because we don't want that experience to happen. And then we can't quite get the connection that we want. And so this is a middle ground where we're able to be connected to people and still have a way of keeping ourselves cleansed and clear. And I think that you'll find that you have more joy in your life. I certainly have found that life is more delightful because the things that used to drive that energy up so high that I would become what my husband calls triggery, those began to dissipate and disappear. And so there's a lot more harmony in my relationships now. And it's a lot easier to have those conversations with the Italian parents and let some of that stuff just roll right off, you know, and just be in a place of love, loving compassion.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've talked to a few people, and I've experienced this in my own life, that, you know, you can have joy while you're caregiving, and caregiving is an opportunity that if people recognize it to get to know this loved one that you probably don't know nearly as well. I'm doing some work with some folks who have a whole binder that can guide people through telling their life story. And when they did it with their own parents, they had no idea how much they didn't know, you know, about them. So if you're in the moment with this and recognize the opportunity, it's pretty awesome. So, so what do you recommend? So people are going to watch this, and some are going to want to continue this journey. They're going to maybe watch this a couple of times and go to your video link. What else can people do if they want to really get into this?
Well, they can visit me on my website and sign up for my newsletter. I'm always sending out interesting things that are going on in my space, in my world. I have different programs that I offer that are distance programs and workshops that I teach with different colleagues around. And there are ways for them to get connected. The most important thing to know is that you can do this on your own, absolutely 100%. And for some of us, we do better when we're in a group setting. It's just nice to have compadres, you know, are on the journey with us. And so if that appeals to people, they can see what programs I have going and jump on in.
Awesome. Well, Rima, it was great reconnecting with you. And this is great information. And I know I'm going to go back and watch it again and take some notes. And I just wanted to thank you for being part of the Caregiver Smile Summit.
Thank you so much, Anthony. It's been my pleasure.